Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, we have Jeff Mendoza and David Justice. And it's really interesting. So a while back, I did a show on Vagrant and kind of introduced everyone to what Vagrant is. And we're actually going to go and revisit that today, which is really awesome. I'm super excited to be doing the show. So you'll notice behind us here, we have a new blog post, and it's talking about the Vagrant Azure provider, which is the one thing that I covered in the, or one of the things I covered in the last show. And it's now platform independent. So that is very interesting and kind of abstract in a way. So Jeff, do you want to tell us, you know, where we started in MS Open Tech and said, Vagrant's this really cool thing and we need to jump on?
Yep.
And how we're getting to this point of platform independence.
Sure, yeah. So if you haven't watched the show, I suggest you go watch it. But otherwise, maybe you already know Vagrant. Vagrant is a virtual machine management tool. At the highest level, it really helps you get started with VMs on many different backends. And it's targeted mainly towards developers, but it comes in handy in a lot of scenarios. So we at MS Open Tech thought Vagrant was really cool. We wanted to get it working on Azure as soon as possible. So we went ahead and did that last year. I think we had first release sometime in the summer, early summer.
Awesome.
At the time, Vagrant was Linux only as far as Linux guests. Mm-hmm. It would support Windows if they walked like a Linux machine and talked like a Linux machine in that it had an SSH port and other things like that. But we wanted to do something a little bit better for Azure. And on Windows machines, we wanted you to be able to deploy them and provision them just like Linux machines without having to add any extra software so that it would work with our platform images right out of the box. That made us run into a few issues. One of those was that to be able to access Windows remotely, you had to use something called WinRM. And WinRM worked great, but there were no good open source implementations to talk to Windows machines using WinRM, especially from Ruby, which is what Vagrant is written in. So we had to go ahead and use actual PowerShell remoting to talk to Windows machines after they booted up. And this actually required for your machine, which you were running Vagrant on, to be a Windows machine. Now, it was a small piece. You know, you could still provision Linux machines. You could still deploy Windows machines from any laptop. But if you wanted to deploy and provision a Windows machine, you would have to have a Windows laptop. And that's the best that we could do at the time. But that was back then, and we're here today. A lot of things have changed. So a couple things that have changed. The Vagrant Windows plugin developers have worked with Vagrant Core to get a lot of the Windows features into Vagrant Core. So Vagrant Core now doesn't only support Linux guests. And then the other thing they did, along with some other community members who had other interests in getting WinRM and Ruby to work together, enhanced the WinRM gem so that it could actually talk to Windows machines straight out of the box. The main enhancements there were around security and authentication.
Yeah. So to just kind of summarize a little bit of that, we went out and we actually did a number of different things. So we wanted to get it working on Azure, but we also wanted to make sure that we could provide first level support on Windows. So we added a Hyper-V provider, which is 1.6 got added to Vagrant, which is really awesome to see. And then getting things up and running on Azure, which is the Vagrant Azure plugin, which we're talking about today. But it's been an awesome journey, and I'm really excited to keep seeing more and more improvements. Mm-hmm. And then I guess what you've implemented now, David, is you went and took that gem and kind of ran with that and actually got all of this stuff tied together and working. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was first I definitely have to give props to the guys in the WinRM Ruby gem. Without them and the hard work that they put in there, we wouldn't be able to do this. So, you know, it's funny, the community builds on other people from the community, and it's with those that we're able to bring this technology forward. So it actually started out that I had a need. This is normally how this goes, right? Yeah. So I had this need. I was working on a project, and I was I wanted to build out infrastructure and code the infrastructure so that we could repeatedly build and test using tools that I know. And for my background, I came from a Ruby background, mm-hmm. and I knew Vagrant and Ansible and Chef and Puppet, and these are tools that I used on a day-to-day basis. And when I was working on a Windows box, and it worked. And then I went home, and I was working on something else, and it didn't work for provisioning. So I looked at it. I was like, man, I really would love if this just worked for everybody across. So I reached out, looked around, and found the Vagrant Azure project, and looked into the code base and found, okay, we're using PowerShell scripts. That's just not going to work for my platforms that I'm using outside. So let's go and find something that makes sense, and looked into the Windows RM stuff. And the WinRM stuff for Ruby was just close enough where we just had to change a little bit. They've since made those changes. One of the changes was self-signed certs are in WinRM by default. When you fire up a Windows image in Azure, it has a self-signed cert. So a lot of times you're making a SSL connection that it's not happy with a self-signed cert. Mm-hmm. So we had to make a couple changes. So we put in a couple patches that are in place right now that will probably end up moving in the future as things progress. But at this point, we're now able to provision across these different provisioning providers, mm-hmm. Windows machines from Nix boxes, from OS X, from Ubuntu, from whatever it is that you want to. Let's build out some Windows. You know?
Sounds great. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Awesome. So is this when we start doing code stuffs?
Let's do code stuffs.
Oh, yes.
I love code stuffs.
All right, so what I'm going to show right now is a start off. I forgot to mention, we also have multi-box support now. So not just WinRM, but also multi-box. So you can fire up a cloud service which contains multiple VMs. So they will show up in your cloud service underneath there as different roles within that same cloud service, which is kind of nice if you have a topology of many boxes. So we'll go through that as well. So let's dive into some code, and we're going to look at first. What we see here is a walkthrough of creating Ubuntu boxes. This is our first kind of example of a multi-box where we're coming through and we're using a basic A2 size for the VM. We're going to come through and we're going to specify a SSH password as well as our management certificate, our endpoint, which is just the Azure management endpoint. A subscription ID. Unfortunately, these two items, the PEM and the subscription ID, are not available. So we're kind of hiding those a little bit. So
I was going to say you're on the security team, aren't you?
yeah. So those just won't be shown today. So we have the Ubuntu 14.04 image, which we grabbed from the CLI. So if we went into Azure. VM image list.
David, what CLI is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the NPM, the Node CLI.
Oh, okay.
So our cross-platform command line tools. So we actually.
Oh, have you have to do Azure login. Yeah. So I've actually had a couple shows, and that's good because I can kind of rehash that. But yeah, this is the Azure cross-platform tools. And the last show that I did, I showed how to actually export your management certificate from the Azure CLI. So a lot of people didn't know that was possible.
That is really slick.
And I went through some of the Azure docs and kind of replaced, because we had this huge, we had this giant like documentation section that was like, oh, hey, here's how you generate a management certificate for you to upload to the portal.
Yes.
But as soon as you use these tools, it's like, oh, hey. we've already created you a management cert, so you just download it and you can include it and use it to with your Vagrant images.
Yep, yep. So you would use the Azure account command to import your published settings file, download it. Then you could see your subscription ID, export your PEM, and use all of that in your Vagrant file.
Yep, and all of that will be covered in the other video. So I suggest you scroll down in the comments area and take a look at that.
That's great. Yeah, that's one of those common things that people find difficult. As you can see the list of boxes that we have available to us. These different images. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
I don't think we have enough.
And this is just a pipe of all the Ubuntu ones. So we just used 14.04 and we built it out. So you're specifying your cloud service name, your storage account, where you want it built, and in here we're just going to specify VM name and SSH ports. So as you can see, it builds out three boxes, the first one here, second, and the third, and then runs a shell provisioning, so basically just running some bash to echo out the host name that it came from.
Yep.
What are the ports you're specifying?
Oh, that's a great point. Thank you. So this port right here that I'm specifying, I'm giving the VM a name. So this is the name the box will be known by within Azure. And that port is the SSH port. So your cloud service has an IP, and then the boxes below it are NATed. So this is going to map 6000 to 22. For SSH traffic for the first box, then 6001, and progressively go forward. So that's something you want to keep in mind when you're working on these is you're going to have to set up your cloud service in such a way that you're NATing the ports and not overlapping on ports. It can be a little bit troubling initially. So Vagrant status. First, so we've already spun this one up, so we can quickly see that this is running, that we have a dev role out in, a role ready in Azure, and we see we have this Ubuntu machine out there. We could also SSH into it and do other things, but while we're starting that, why don't we kick off a multi-box Windows build?
Sounds great.
Yeah, and then we can see it provision and build out. So we're going to look in here, and we see that we have a Vagrant file. We have a commands text and a hello world PS1. So that PowerShell script is just a really simple script. If we come back over here, we can take a look at the Vagrant file again. And within this file, the major differences that you're going to see is that we're looking at the Windows Server 2012 R2 image from 1201, as opposed to an Ubuntu image. We've specified a slightly different cloud service name, and we're going to take in slightly different parameters here for each one of our three boxes. For the first box, we're going to take in the name, the WinRM port that we're going to map to, and the RDP port. So we're going to offer up WinRM and RDP, and in here we're specifying the TCP port for RDP, and we're specifying that we're going to offer WinRM up over HTTPS.
So that's a really good thing to point out. So basically, if you're dealing with a Linux box, you do all the communication over SSH.
Yes.
So you can either log into the box with SSH and have an interactive mode, or you do your provisioning over SSH and all that connectivity is done through that. But on Windows, SSH isn't available by default. So you'd either have to install some open source project or use the things that we have in Windows to be able to help you out. And that thing is WinRM, which is Windows Remote Management. And basically, that's what we're using here. So that handles the connectivity on a Windows box very much like SSL would for Linux. And then because you don't really have terminal access in Windows, because there is a GUI to interact and all that stuff, we have to wire up that RDP session so you can actually log in and do whatever you need to do on the box itself.
Yeah, you can handle basically almost all the provisioning through WinRM in the same way that you handle it in SSH. So yeah, they're great synonyms. So we see the port progression again, and that's something I want to stress again, that we are progressing the ports because it is NATed behind it. So we come in here now, and Vagrant up is the command to create or spin up a Vagrant environment based on your Vagrant file. But we're going to specify the provider, and the provider is Azure. So now it's going to execute this Vagrant file that we just looked at. And at the end of it, it's going to execute this inline shell command, which is actually going to execute PowerShell as opposed to you know, Bash from our last example. So we go to fire this up.
So what kind of things would you want to do in the provisioning step?
Ooh, that's a great question. So let's imagine all the different things you would do to configure a box. Yeah. So let's imagine opening up firewall ports, configuring IIS, configuring your application. So one nice thing that Vagrant provides for you is file synchronization. So by default, when we go and build out, when we see Vagrant up, by default, it synchronizes that root directory that you're in. So wherever that Vagrant file is, everything under that is going to be synchronized to that remote machine. Mm. By default, to the C:\Vagrant directory.
Now, how does that actually get implemented in Windows? Because I know for Linux it uses rsync to do the connectivity and the synchronization between that, but how does that actually work with Windows itself?
Large amounts of magic. No. it uses the WinRM gem, in fact.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, underneath the covers, WinRM allows us to move those files over as well. So just the same way as rsync is going to be working, we're going to be leveraging WinRM as our transport protocol.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So this is going to go for a little while. So they're spinning up in Azure. Why don't we take a look and just see how they're working? So I'm going to bring up the portal, and we should see a cloud service building up here. In fact, we do. We see our Vagrant Cloud EO3 building up, and it's currently in provisioning. So this cloud service, why don't we walk under the cloud service and take a look at perhaps the instances available. So as you can see, these are building, and we currently only have two instances being provisioned right now. Mm-hmm. The third will come up. These happen in parallel. So when Vagrant goes to build your boxes out, it doesn't happen in a necessarily sequential order. So we actually have to understand your cloud service has roles. So we need to make sure that, you know, the first box is the initial cloud service, and then second ones are roles underneath it. Mm-hmm. So just part of, you know, the inner workings of what we end up doing to abstract away some of Azure cloud uniqueness. Mm-hmm. So as you see, the third one just popped up, and it is currently provisioning. The second one is starting, and these will go on and end up being built up. And when they actually come up, we will know from Azure, based on its role status, the box has come up, and then we're going to try to contact it with WinRM. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the WinRM service is up, we know that the box is actually ready. So then we start syncing the folders, being the Vagrant folder, this one. And then we end up making the connection to do the provisioning. Now, provisioning is optional, of course. So if you're going to use Chef or Puppet or Ansible or,
there's literally a list of like 15 different things.
You know, you name your tools. Yeah. Whatever your DevOps tool of choice is, you can use it, and that's where you plug that in.
Cool. So this one's actually, the one's actually starting, so it's not quite at role ready state. But when we see that at role ready, you'll actually get a notification sitting on the command line to say, hey, this is ready. And would we actually see that remote PowerShell execution come back to the command line as well?
Yes, in fact, we will. So I think we have an example of it. The bread has already baked, and we're going to pull it out of the oven early.
Cool. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. So let's hop in and... Oh, hi.
Awesome. It's my favorite thing is I think every command line should have ASCII art.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not going to go into Ubuntu. We're going to go into Windows. And in here, I'm going to cheat a little bit because, you know, demo gods always always make it a little bit more difficult. So we're going to go and take a look at this Hello World PowerShell script real quick.
Yeah. So if I was using this for development, like, and I wanted to have a Windows machine be my environment that I want to start up my code and do some unit tests or something like that, I would go ahead and put that here. Like, maybe write a PowerShell script to
sure.
build the code, run the tests, do something like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and return you the results, and mm-hmm. then you can also go pick up files off of that machine if you wanted to.
Of course, yeah, because the code would be here. Like, you're looking right here in /vagrant. So your code, if this vagrant file were in my code base, that's where I would go to find my code.
Yeah, and you actually call it a really good point there. And some of my IT pro friends that I talk to, I'm like, so do you guys use source control for scripts and stuff that you do? And they're like, source control? Why would we ever do that? I mean, that's a dev thing. It's like, no. Like, these scripts are scripts, and they're something that's moving, and they're usually, you know, something that the business requires to keep going. So yeah. I encourage all you out there, if you aren't currently using source control for your PowerShell scripts or anything along those lines, definitely get those into some sort of source control system and move forward. And then, I mean, this is great DevOps kind of stuff that you can do with Vagrant. So, I mean, it just seems kind of suiting that you would keep, well, you do keep a lot of these files alongside your code base.
Yeah.
So, and that's actually the benefit of it is, hey, I have this project that I'm working on, that project's folder has a Vagrant file, and then that's what makes it super simple to be able to spin up these environments and keep going. So multiple members on your team or anything along those lines. So really good point.
Yeah. And all your config management stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's when you can get down to your infrastructure as code, or even move a step further into like immutable infrastructure, you know, Docker stuff. That's, you know, you're really starting to build up that level. You're leveling up.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at what this does if we want to execute it. So if we want to execute it, we need to Vagrant PowerShell. Now this is going to yell at me because, well, it doesn't do anything just off the bat. Mm-hmm. So we get the PowerShell command there, and it tells us what we need to do. So I'm going to cheat here, and we're going to go and we're going to contact that first box. We're going to create a WinRM session, and we're going to execute this script, that actual file on the other side, and we're going to see what it has to say. So we get warned here that there's a self-signed cert in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the default way that we do it in Azure. But as you see here, you see the PowerShell executing on the remote side, and we get back a Hello World from Windows 01. And if we remember, Windows 01 is the name of first box. So
yep.
It exists over there. And then we get the, oh, all of my files have synced out there. How cool is that?
That is really cool.
It's nice. It's a great start. If DevOps isn't your thing, this is like the great simple way to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Next, let's go issue a inline command.
Do you want to just clear that screen before you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
There we go.
Cool. So we're saying Vagrant PowerShell first. So we're once again contacting that box. But instead of using the --- script like you used last time, now we're using --- command. We get full inline support for actually doing our script. Interesting. Debug.
Yeah. how about echo? And how about we do that? It always works better the second time. Hopefully.
Looking good so far.
Yay. Okay,
cool.
So it tried to execute the hello script. And if you look back in there, you'll probably find that in the error. The errors that are handed back are actually in the XML format that WinRM hands them back. This is something that we're working on.
So go put your +1 on the issue in GitHub.
Oh, yeah, totally. We will be right on that. And if you look, you'll see it found the public port and map that public port into that box on Azure.
So, cool.
We now have three boxes, three Windows boxes out there functioning and giving us back responses to PowerShell.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I did cover this in the other show, but I'm wondering if there are any best practices on actually describing a box in Azure. Because the box file that we have, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a dummy box sitting in the repo. But how do you really, like, what would you suggest as the best practice? And Jeff, maybe this might be.
Well, I'll just give you, I'll give you a little background on the boxes.
Okay.
So Vagrant started off as a local hypervisor type of tool, and you would want to share boxes as starting off points because you don't always have, you don't have a library of images on your local machine. So the box was supposed to include the image. For Azure and cloud providers in general, the boxes, Vagrant boxes, tend to be empty slates, and then you go ahead and specify a cloud image in your Vagrant file. Now you can bake a lot of things, anything from the Vagrant file into a box mm-hmm. if you wanted to do that and share it in that format. I don't see people doing that too often. Normally just sharing a Vagrant file is good enough. Mm. I don't know about more best practices.
Well, because like there are multiple SKUs and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I see in here in the Vagrant file itself, you actually say this is the image, but mm-hmm. say you wanted to reduce that amount of configuration that you're doing in your Vagrant file.
Yeah.
Is that something that you can just push into the box?
Absolutely.
And those would be like the standard size?
Yes. Yes, you can put that stuff in your box file if that works for you. You don't want to have a bunch of boilerplate in all of your Vagrant files.
Cool.
Yeah, the boxes are, it's a little bit lighter when you have cloud-based deployments.
Yeah, there are no bits in the box.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you literally, I mean, for local development, you literally have a virtual machine file stuffed in the box with a manifest file, and it's all tarred up, and everything's good to go. But
yeah, if you're limited on hard drive space, then this is actually a little bit easier on you.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. So all of these are we have one that's actually up and actively running, so that's really awesome. And everything, I mean, we just saw everything's all synchronized and you're ready to go. So, I mean, that's really brilliant. Are there any other demos that you have to show us?
I think that's it.
I think that's
Yeah.
I mean, you did an incredible amount of demos already.
We want to show people if they want to grab the code or be in active development, you can check out the code. Of course, it's a Ruby gem, and Vagrant does a great job of wrapping the Ruby gems in plugins so that you don't actually have to know that Vagrant's written in Ruby and that you're downloading the Ruby gem. Vagrant plugin install, I think, is the command. But if you do want to check out the latest development, head over to our GitHub repo, send us some issues, send us some pull requests. We'd love to have you.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I do frequent the MS OpenTech organization just to see what's going on. But brilliant work here, guys. Really appreciate it. Big props out to the people that made the WinRM gem for Ruby as well, because that's incredible to see. And it's nice to see, because, I mean, you work for MS OpenTech, and you work within
Azure.
The Azure organization.
Yeah.
So this is a good example of open source collaboration across the company, mm-hmm. Which is really great to see as well. So awesome collaboration job. That's really great. So hopefully you have the ability to go out and use this in your own environments within your work situation. But if you don't, I love that situation. But if you don't, it's a great thing to pick up at home, because this can save you a lot of time for all the little projects that you're working on. If you're an open source project contributor, Vagrant, you should see Vagrant files flying around everywhere on GitHub today. So if you're not familiar, great time to set things up. And Azure, a great place to go and do your development for when you do get there. So do you guys have anything else you want to comment? We have the GitHub URL. Make sure all the links are in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say hi to Mom?
Hey, Mom.
Mom!
But the thing that gets me most about Vagrant is it takes away the it works on my machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You always get that, but you can handle that.
Yeah, that was the title of my last show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because that is the key thing that Vagrant really does, is it provides that universal setup. So you don't have to worry about, this is my machine, this is, you know, someone else's machine. You have a common machine, and they could all be sitting in Azure. So there is one other thing that I want to say. I mean, sure. Provisioning, now that we have the ability to go out and provision Windows boxes, Linux has like apt-get or yum or all these different package managers. I'm just going to go and do a call out for Chocolaty, because Chocolaty is an awesome installer or package manager for Windows. It's built off of the NuGet system, so big props to the NuGet team. And there's also another thing that's, I think it's going to be shipping with Windows 10 by default, is OneGet, which is a set of PowerShell sitting on Windows proper that actually looks out to the Chocolaty repository to bring provisioning right onto your machine.
Awesome.
So if you do start getting into some really heavy Vagrant work and you're looking for a great provider for Windows to do all your package management, Chocolaty or OneGet is a good place to go. And with that, I mean, I think that's a pretty good show. That's a wrap.
Thanks for having us.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much for joining me. And you know, incredible work. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you out there for joining us again here on WebCamps TV.